Welcome to another edition of Christian Family Matters, where your Christian family matters. I'm Robin Johnston, your host. We're continuing in our four-part series of The Chaos Kid with marriage coach Larry Bellotta. We've gotten so much wonderful information with Larry and his guests. Today we're going to be talking with David Ahlberg, and David has a very interesting story to tell us today regarding marriage, divorce, a restraining order, and how he and his wife, Lori, were able to put things back together again. Welcome back, Larry Bellotta.
Robin, the next interview that we want to do is with David, and David's got a dramatic story in the Chaos to Purpose Scale. You know, I'm going to reinstall the Chaos to Purpose Scale again because, you know, it's good for people to hear it again. So it's a simple idea. It goes from 0 to 100%. And 0 is the worst place to grow up, with 100% being the best place to grow up. So example of 0 would be a single woman with 3 kids by 3 different men living in an apartment in poverty would be the worst place to grow up. And 100% place would be a mom and dad, single family home, 2 kids. The dad cares about the kids and makes them feel valuable and important. So it would be the best place to grow up. So at the top of the scale, 90 to 100%, that'd be a purpose home. And as you go down in those first 10 years, 80, 70, 60, your father is less and less involved in your life, and he's more and more involved in his work or his own pursuits. And as you cross the line at 50%, below 50%, you enter the chaos neighborhood. And at 50%, your father is abusive. He's not good to you. He's mean to you. He's neglectful or he's abusive in any way. And as you go to 40 and 30 and 20, he's more and more abusive. And then at 25, dad abandons the family. So that's the chaos scale once again. And I want to bring David into this call because David has a set of programs. And remember, we're talking about the mother load program. And the program, remember what the question defines a mother load for men is, how did your father show you to treat a woman by the way he treated your mother? And so when David answered that, he answered it as women are to be hated. Now, how's that for a program to run a marriage on?
Ouch.
All right. But there were other programs, like on the subject of noise. They yelled to communicate. This is the home he grew up in the first 10 years. Jobs, businesses, there's nothing about life dad liked on the subject of jobs. The subject of yelling, arguing, and confrontation. Parents were angry all the time. The subject of listening. They never cared what anyone thought. The subject of self-image. Parents were extremely insecure. Now, that's some samples of what David had to grow up. And what I like to say to people is, did you ask to be dropped into that home? You know, when the stork was carrying you over the house, did you say, I want that house? You know, you didn't choose the house you got dropped into.
Right.
You didn't ask for it. So because you didn't ask for it, whatever programs you were given in those 10 years are absolutely not your fault. Now, you don't know this. You know, as we were establishing in these interviews, people just don't know how simple this is. It is a set of instructions, a set of programs. Now, David is married to Lori, and I'd like him to tell us the story of how this marriage began and how these programs from his childhood actually created this marriage that ultimately ended up in such a dramatic moment. So, David, are you still there?
I am.
So, David, I wanted to give that intro so that people can hear some background as you tell this story of how you were raised in that home as a chaos kid, and you have programs in your brain that tell you how to treat your wife. So you've been married to Lori how many years?
Well, we're coming up on 5 on July 25th this next year. So
okay, 5 years.
One of those years, we didn't quite make it through it.
You didn't quite make it through it. To start the story, how did the two of you start out in the beginning of your marriage?
Two of us started out fairly well, but because of circumstances, and you know, I didn't handle the stress real well, and things started happening to kind of create issues. And once I kind of reached my peak, my anger issues kind of popped up, and I kind of went off the deep end. And she pretty much put me in my spot and filed for divorce.
There was a restraining order involved in that, right?
Oh yeah, we had a restraining order on me I didn't get to see her or talk to her for almost 8 months.
Yes.
So you're about as far down as you're going to get. That marriage is pretty much out the door.
Yes, restraining orders would say that, right? So when you had this restraining order put on you, is that what got your attention? Was it the divorce that got your attention? What got your attention?
Well, I think just the fact that she filed for the restraining order and had me kicked out of the house because of my anger issues pretty much put me to a place where I realized that, I had a drinking problem, so that was one of the first things that needed to go. I mean, I didn't really have a problem with my drinking, but I guess everybody else did. But I didn't know that. So once I got that passed and started realizing what God kind of wanted me to do, things kind of started turning a different way. And I spent pretty much 8 months just really seeking the Lord, trying to find out where I was supposed to be and what I was supposed to do. And then we ran across you. That pretty much was a freak thing, too. I don't mind telling you.
Yeah,
we were in divorce court.
Tell me how that happened.
Well, that happened through a mutual friend of ours, Lori's ex-boss from where she works, and she just happened to be talking to her, ran into her, just kind of, I guess she hadn't talked to her in a couple years, and just ran into her, and she was talking about the fact that she was divorcing me, and I guess this lady really had gone through the whole routine and had been through your program and was helping and was actually working with you, and she said, Lori, I got a better way. And she talked to Lori, and Lori, Donna actually called me and basically said, this is where you got to go and this is what you got to do. And because I knew these people and I knew where they had been, I decided to go ahead and try the program out. Otherwise, I thought it was just a crock because it sounded too good to be true. I mean, what was the name of your website? Stop Your Divorce in 4 Weeks.
Yes.
or something like that, and it's just like, yeah. Oh yeah, right, uh-huh. I was a little skeptical.
You certainly don't believe that it was just happenstance that Lori happened to run into this lady.
No, I don't think it was. No. I think that's divine providence. Totally.
Absolutely.
You know, you look at it back then, and you just kind of go, yeah, God was working.
Mm-hmm.
He really had to get a lot of things lined up to get me to pay attention and to get Lori to pay attention, because we were going to wash our hands of it. It was just way easier.
Sounded pretty desperate.
Yeah.
David, when you, right at that point, the restraining order was on, you were living in separate places. As far as you knew and she knew, it was over. But she agreed to go through this program with you in spite of all of that, which is pretty amazing, right?
Well, yeah, and like I said, I think our mutual friend had a lot to do with it, because we both respected her, and we both respected what her and her husband had been through. Yeah, I was willing to try anything, and I think deep down Lori was too. She didn't really, I mean, this is our third marriage for both of us, so it's kind of like we're both stuck in the same boat here, you know?
Yes. So. If the third one ends, what is this saying to us, right? So you were both motivated to, come on, we can't go this far, and fail again.
Absolutely.
David, I mentioned David's mother load program from his father. How did your father show you to treat a woman by the way he treated your mother? Women are to be hated. That's what David was shown. That's why he had so much anger. He had it because his brain was programmed with anger and resentment and unhappiness. And the girl he marries, and listen to her mother load program, because, this question is for women. How did your mother show you to treat a man by the way she treated your father? And here's her program that comes out of that question. Be loyal to your man, but don't take his guff. So
that's her mom and dad to a T, I don't mind telling you.
This is a very, very simple idea, right? So here's the girl who's not going to take it, and here's David programs dishing it out, and David doesn't know what to do about it. He can't control it. He can't even find it. So David, I want you to talk about when you started to discover the invisible lifestyle and the programming that you were given. How did you start to think about that and what it meant to you? Because you're in a forced separation. It's going to last a number of months. God's bringing you to your knees, as they say. What do you realize when you realize, man, my father set me up to fail?
A lot of aha moments going through your program, and I was really, there was quite a few things that I couldn't even answer because I didn't even know it. In fact, you had to kind of coach me through even finding the answers because I just couldn't come up with them on my own. That's how blind I was, and I think there's a lot of guys out there that are still the same way. They're so blinded by some of this stuff, they don't realize anything's wrong with a marriage until the wife walks out on them.
That's right.
I'm just one of millions of guys out there in the same boat, I mean, until you come to a place where you're willing to face some of that stuff and realize, hey, it's not just about you, it's about what happened to you and what you've become because of it. The learning to hate women Yeah, it's so subconscious you don't even realize you're doing it. But, you know, and I think a lot of it I tried to buck. That's one of the reasons I knew some of the stuff I was being taught as a child wasn't that great. That's why I left home when I was 16 or 17 years old. Yeah, when you grow up in that kind of an environment with alcoholics and self-centered people, you end up becoming kind of the same way.
There are people in the world that are called atheists. Mm-hmm. You know, there's thousands of people whose stories are like yours, David, you know. Grow up in this literally destined to fail programming system, and you start repeating that, you know, and then God invades your life, right? And yeah. And then you wake up, right? And the only thing that could really, you know, describe how you did this is you had divine intervention. Really,
it was divine intervention, and God used a great deal of pain to make me turn around, because sometimes that's what it takes for stubborn people like me. Seems to teach you a lot really quick too.
See if we can change that sometimes to all the time. All the time pain mm-hmm. makes you learn things you'll never learn any other way. So here's a guy who is programmed to fail. And divine intervention is not something we can guarantee. You can't pray for somebody and then God comes like a genie and, you know, gives you what you want for that person. That doesn't happen that way. So you don't control whether God's going to come in somebody's life and turn it around. But this program that this, and you know, being able to change environment, David, you did a dramatic turnaround. I don't know what else to call it. It was dramatic.
Well, I learned a lot. I had a good teacher. Once you learn some of these things and you start applying them to your life and you understand that, I'm not a bad man, that was huge for me. You know,
prior to you learning that this, you are not a bad person, and there's a very, mm-hmm. you know, a logical reason why you're not a bad person. But when you realize you are not a bad person, you're not your programs. Your programs have a strength of their own, and they are not you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to obey them. They don't have to own you. And there's some other things you learn to make you realize you're not a bad person. But you didn't actually live a life where you thought you were a good person separate from anything else. You just thought you were bad, right?
Pretty much. That was the story of my life. You know, I was just a bad boy.
You're a bad boy.
I've been told that since the day I was born, you know?
Because that came out of your father, right? That you were just a bad guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he passed away 30 years ago. 32 years ago.
In those first 10 years with your dad, that's where you heard those messages, right?
Yeah.
That you weren't...
Yeah, he pretty much wasn't real productive at raising children that are, really conducive to society. Like I say, I mean, I turned out pretty good considering, and my brother's basically spending the rest of his life in prison. So
wow.
You can see how influence, fathers and mothers' influences are huge on children. So
and people still don't know that. They still don't know that.
You need to get the word out. Hopefully that's what this radio program will produce.
So tell me about the transition, the change, because Lori did not feel safe with you, and she had a good reason to not feel safe with you. You didn't have safe programs in your brain that would actually create safety. So
no, in fact, when we heard that from you, I was like, huh? She wants to feel safe? What do you mean by that?
Let's take a real quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Larry and David and the Chaos Kid.
We're accidentally in love. Accidentally in love. Accidentally in love.
With the divorce rate so high, many organizations and coaches are doing all they can to help couples solve their marriage troubles. One of the most unique programs available brings together a list of benefits that both men and women find highly attractive, and it offers real help for marriages.
The program is called The Fulfilled Couple. What makes it so unique are these 20 reasons why The Fulfilled Couple is a better key to rebuilding a struggling marriage.
First, there are no office visits, and a live coach works with you by phone. It's multimedia. The content is delivered through video, reading, listening, and live private calls.
You build your marriage at home. 88% of couples report a reduction in tension. 72% of couples report seeing each other in a different way. Husbands perform more services for their wives.
Oh, you like that. Well, here's one. Wives find sexual attraction to their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Couples learn how to eliminate their negative feelings in just 60 seconds, and both see self-confidence increase.
Children become more emotionally stable, and no one becomes the bad guy. It removes blame from both spouses.
That's a plus. The program works with the way the brain and emotions perform. It simplifies complex ideas with pictures. It's 90% less than the cost of a wedding and 90% less than the cost of a divorce.
It keeps wealth in the family. It has a clear beginning and a clear end.
And reason 20?
The author of this program has been married 34 years.
Now, what marriage program can do all that? Watch the video at FulfilledCouple.com and see for yourself.
That's FulfilledCouple.com. Welcome back. We're talking with Larry Bellotta, marriage and family coach, and David Ahlberg with The Chaos Kid.
David is a man's man. He's not a touchy-feely guy.
Right.
He's a, you know, just tell me what I got to do and I'll do it kind of guy.
I've become a lot more sensitive in the last 2 years. I don't mind telling you. And it's not a bad thing.
You know, but you can be a manly man, be able to produce that type of tenderness and emotion that you need to make your wife feel safe and secure. So let's hear how that happened. I'm interested.
Well, through some of the things that we learned with Larry and going through his program, you know, we learned, can I talk about the flag pages?
Oh, sure.
Those were a huge wake-up call for us. Those were huge. You know, learning from the different kind of countries we came from and, you know, how we interact with other people and with ourselves and you know, then learning that, you know, Lori needed to feel safe and that her mission was to kind of, you know, help support the man on a mission. That's kind of where I was because I'm always on some kind of mission one way or another. And once we that just changed the way we looked at each other. And so this last couple of years is what I tried to do. And I mean, marriage is not an easy thing. It really isn't, but it's worth it if you do it right. And, you know, listening to your spouse and making her feel safe, and that was something that I had not been doing, you know, because I was just being selfish and self-centered like I'd always been because I didn't know better. So, you know, once you learn some of these little tricks of the trade, so to speak, and you learn what your wife needs from you, not what you think she needs, but what she really needs, it makes all the difference in the world, and it's actually fairly easy to turn around.
Dave, what kept you going as you started to do things differently? You started to shut off those ugly programs in your brain that made so much anger. What's one of the things that actually Lori really started to be moved by? That this guy is really, he's really not what he was. What's some of the things she saw in you?
Well, I think just the initial changes, just in my perception of her and how I was interacting with her and then interacting with other people, that was probably even more so because I spent a lot of time going back and talking with people and asking them for forgiveness, and that's hard to do. I don't mind telling you, but it's huge. You know, she saw me making an effort, and that made her feel safe. It was actually pretty simple when she saw me doing it, and I've tried to keep it up the best I can, and, you know, I'm not perfect. I fail once in a while, but we just kind of made a resolution between the two of us that divorce is not an option. So we just make sure we fix things.
So it's not
always a pretty picture.
What's your daily routine like when the two of you are together? What is keeping you close now? What's doing? What is Lori doing? What are you doing?
Our communication aspect has changed quite a bit. We talk with each other a little bit better than we used to, and I've still got issues with that. I have trouble sharing things and talking, but I'm getting better at it all the time. But I guess I got a little ways to go. You know, we get up in the morning and try to have a devotion together and talk and spend some time with the Lord, and that's our motivation. It seems like the closer we get to Him, the closer we get to each other. So. That's really a key.
You said that Red Book Magazine had a little article called The Five Things the Happiest Couples Do to Stay Happily Married. And do you know what the fifth thing was? Is that 65% of people report that they pray together with their spouse. How about that? That's from Red Book Magazine.
That's huge. That really is huge. And Lori and I probably don't do it as much as we should. But we're not the perfect couple by a long shot, but we are headed in the right direction.
So, David, you come from a real chaotic childhood home that really gave you a very chaotic life. Your first marriage, your second marriage, chaos marriages, would you agree?
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely. And, in fact, I don't think they were in any different shape than where I was at, you know. I mean, I married the same kind of people that I was.
Now, the reason I brought this up and wanted you to make that mention, Robin, is I want to make a statement that chaos children from chaos homes find each other without any ever trying. They literally have these magnets that just draw each other to chaos. And this is why the poor will always be with you, because chaos kids marry chaos kids, and it happens a lot. And we've got 1,500,000 divorces a year, and a big, big number of those are chaos kids married to chaos kids. And they never learn, you know, what I'm teaching in this course. They're just not even thinking. They're not aware. I think, you know, our last interview established when you're not aware, bad things happen. And David, you're very aware today of a lot of things.
Being aware is huge. I mean, that changes the course of your marriage, absolutely, because most of us go into these marriages, we're chaos people marrying chaos people, like you said, and it's just confusion. So how can anything good come out of it?
Now, you and Lori went through this process with me in February and March of 2007, so almost coming up on 2 years. So that's a long time ago. So why is it sticking with you?
Why is it sticking? Because we
why are you not just forgetting it? You know how people go to a program to forget?
Why aren't we forgetting? Do you really want to know why we aren't forgetting? I know why I don't forget, because every time I go to the bathroom, I have this little plaque in front of me that says, "The Fulfilled Couple." Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
It's a plaque that Larry gives us when we graduate from his course, and we just put it in a very prominent place, and it's something I see several times a day.
Oh, hey, now, I'm a big proponent of visual aids, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, David, I want to ask it, would you mind reading those statements of what you agreed to back in 2007? Because what he's referring to is a thing called the Fulfilled Couple Agreement. And at the top of it says, "We are the fulfilled couple, and on these 12 statements we both agree that we're going to move closer in our marriage, we'll be fulfilled." And it's a process that we're going to commit to. And so these statements start, the first one starts with, "We are great friends." And David, if you're open to this, I'd like to read these. Okay,
I can read them. I've got my plaque out, the plaque right in front of me. You want me to do it?
All right, why don't you do it then? Because you're the one that's living.
This is the fulfilled couple, and the first one is we are great friends because we trust and respect each other, so we share our deepest secrets.
And this is all their wording, by the way.
Okay.
I want to make that point, Robin, that David created his own wording, Lori created her own wording, and then they came together and they joined their statements. And so what you're hearing from David is their joint statement.
Awesome. Okay.
So go ahead, David.
And actually, well, the second statement was, "We have strong bonds of trust," and that was Larry's statement. And then we filled in, "Because we feel safe enough to share deep and scary and important things with each other, knowing it won't threaten our relationship." Number three was, "We have respect and intimacy because we demonstrate courtesies towards each other in public and in private, and we feel safe sharing and accepting who we are." The fourth one is, "We raise balanced kids because our children will respect us and value our beliefs and live lives of integrity." Number five is, "We accomplish great things together because we live in awe of how God uses our lives to build our dreams and to help others achieve theirs." And helping others achieve theirs is huge. And the next one is, "We live in good health because we are physically and mentally fit with plenty of energy to enjoy healthy activities together and apart." The next one is, "We have self-confidence because we have no need to prove ourselves to anyone because we're secure in who we are." And that was a tough one for me. I'm still working on that one. The next one is, "We eliminate our negative feelings because we walk in hope even in the face of difficult situations." The next one is, "We build financial security because we deal with money in a God-honoring way." The next one is that, "We complement each other's strengths because we remain unstoppable regardless of circumstances that might seem difficult." And then the last one is, "We enjoy our unique differences because we each feel validated, we support, are liberated for who we are." And, you look at this every day and it reminds you. Plus, you remember the pain and the pain.
David, where's that plaque hanging?
It's hanging it's hanging over my toilet. So when I use the bathroom, it's fairly obvious where it's at.
Isn't that great?
That is awesome. But I must compliment you, David. You and Lori both. Those are just wonderful, awesome goals, promises. And I think you ought to make a poster out of that and start selling that on eBay. I think you've encompassed just about what every marriage needs to do.
Well, I think going through Larry's program, you end up with one of these at the end of the program. And I don't mind telling you, every couple that goes through it has one of these. And they're probably all different, aren't they, Larry?
Yes, they're all different.
But
what's important about this is David and Lori joined their different ideas because they did this separately. They joined their different, like the first one is great friends. How would you know if you were great friends? Well, she wrote hers and he wrote his, and then they came together and joined them. Well, the act of joining them, David, was a little dicey at times, right?
Well, yeah, this didn't just pop out of thin air. This took us a couple of weeks to figure out what we were doing with it.
Yes. Yeah. David, you actually never talked to Lori about all these 12 subjects, did you?
Oh, heck no. We'd have talked about this stuff before we got married. We probably wouldn't have got married. Scary stuff, man.
Here's the 12. The first one is if we were great friends, I would know it because. If we had strong bonds of trust, I would know it because. If we had respect and intimacy for each other, I would know it because. If we raised balanced kids, I would know it because. If we accomplished great things together, I would know it because. If we lived in good health, I would know it because. If we had self-confidence, I would know it because. If we eliminated our negative feelings, I would know it because. If we built financial security, I would know it because. If we complemented each other's strengths, if we lived without our old barriers, if we enjoyed our unique differences. Those are the 12.
You should maybe consider making a premarital thing out of this and have kids that are thinking about getting married fill this out.
There you go.
Because nobody's thinking about, if I had it, how would I know it?
Yeah, would I recognize it?
That's right. So what this process is, and I have a worksheet and instructions and things with the two of them. Like David said, it took them a couple of weeks to work through this so they can actually agree on the joint language. And then what happens is they typeset it and they put it in their bathroom, and that's where it stays. So, you know, you keep seeing it and seeing it and seeing it. Like I was asking David earlier, how do you remember? He said, I'll tell you how I remember. This plaque is in my bathroom.
It's in my face every day.
Your bathroom.
I'd rather have the plaque in my face every day than my wife.
But see, we don't remember. See, that's why we need a framed plaque. And what's so powerful about the fulfilled couple plaque is that you created it. That's what's powerful. Mm-hmm. See, if you buy something from a store with positive phrases on it, that's nowhere near as powerful as what the two of you have. David, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And the particular one that we have here is just for me and Lori. So it really, if anybody else read it, they'd go, huh? It wouldn't mean anything to them.
That's right. It's
huge.
Very, very custom. Like the flag page is very custom. Fulfilled couple, the agreement is very, very custom to you. Because that's what's meaningful, and meaning has power. General expressions you buy in a nice plaque in a store don't have a whole lot of meaning. And
no,
stuff.
They don't work.
It's not personal.
Yes,
you can't get a generic fulfilled couple plaque.
So, Robin, we're talking to a guy who was raised in a home that produced a son who went to jail possibly for the rest of his life. And then it produced another son who could have ended up, you know,
in the same place.
A life of crime. And because David learned this stuff and got free, and God is meddling in your life, isn't he?
He is meddling? That's an interesting way of putting it. But he's doing a lot of things I don't really care for. But
hey, that's right.
It's necessary for life. It's necessary for him to change me into being who I'm supposed to be.
And you didn't really have a clear vision of who you were supposed to be.
No, not at all. Nobody ever told me. I didn't know that you were supposed to. I thought going through life with absolutely no vision was perfectly normal because I thought everybody else was doing the same thing.
And this is another point I wanted to make, Robin. Why was I able to help Lori and David? The reason is because my wife put me through 27 years of hell and she would not let me go. And I had to find out how to stay sane.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be simple because I don't think complicated. And I had to find a way, and it took all those years to find the pieces, perfect it, and make it teachable. Now, I grew up in a terrible home, and I'm a troubled person, and I married this super powerful woman who doesn't believe in divorce and won't let me go, or, you know, I'll be in a body bag, you know. And that's what this whole process came out of that. And so all the people who go into this program have had a chaos kid in their marriage somewhere, either husband or wife or a chaos kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take purpose kids through this program. Isn't that amazing? All these years, never had a purpose kid in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Two purpose kids in a marriage don't go through this program. One time, I took an Army chaplain and his wife through it, and they both come from wonderful home, and it was boring. because they just, you know, they're already really content and really happy. But to people like David and I, this is a big deal.
Larry, you even said to me that this program really doesn't work unless you're in pain.
That's right. You remember that.
Pain. The pain is huge. I mean, God. That's why God uses pain to teach us, because pain is a serious motivator.
It's wonderful.
I mean, it's a, you know, I think one of the statements that I got from you when we got to the end of our program, you said something to me that I didn't really care for, but I still remember it very well, and you said, "Welcome to the fellowship of his sufferings." Do you remember that? you probably don't remember. You told that to me, and I just kind of, I've been dwelling on that for 2 years. I'm like, you know, there's a lot of this I don't like, but I'm going to go through it anyway.
Now, we are American. You know, in America, there's Christians who are American Christians. In America, they enjoy the highest standard of living in the world. Even the poor Americans live better than the rest of the world lives. That's how good Americans have it. And what this creates is a lot of complacency and people looking for happiness. And they want to believe that God wants you to be happy. Well, if God wants you to be happy, then you're probably not reading the same Bible, because the Bible says, if they slap you on the left, let them slap you on the right. If they make you walk a mile, walk two. If they take your coat, take your shirt, give them the shirt besides. What is that? That is abuse. There is no way to get around that. That Sermon on the Mount topic is abuse. And if we want to go beyond that, let's look at Paul, who says, I delight in insults, hardships, persecution, and difficulty. What is all of that? It's a message that says, until you are going through pain, you will not learn anything.
Right. When you come through on the other side, what wonderful blessings, and that you have an understanding. But yeah, there will be sorrows in this life. Yeah.
And you're supposed to have them. But what's the purpose? The purpose is to get you to see what you never saw. And David's story is great, because here's a guy on his third marriage. He's going to go on to his fourth marriage if he didn't do anything different, right? And here he wakes up. Right?
Hopefully I would have learned my lesson.
But it was like the restraining order and getting the police involved and having this, you know, ugly programming from your childhood, from your dad, who never did anything. You know, he's like my mother, an alcoholic. You know, she never, ever thought, stumbling home down the Chicago streets, 2 o'clock in the morning, that anything was wrong with her life. And she wouldn't wake up in the morning and say, what's wrong with my life? You know, my kids have to go to school and their mother's sleeping all the time. You know, how come she never woke up? Well, the question is not for us to ask, why did you never wake up? The question is, why don't we wake up?
We need to wake up and help our kids also start a new generation of understanding, really seeing what it is that we're doing to our families with the chaos.
Yeah, and that starts with just actually looking at those first 10 years and seeing what happened and learning about the programmers. Who were those programmers? The adults who raised us. David, you really made the point. I really appreciate you doing this, and I really hope everybody hears this, because that is a great story that could have been very, very hopeless.
Actually, could have been a very tragic story, and had you not been a manly man and very strong, the Lord might not have been able to use you this way. And for him to come in to your life and move the way that he has and shown you the things that he has, you could be with your brother right now. So this is an interesting story for many of our listeners out there who think things are so desperate for them. Maybe not as desperate as the story they're hearing from you, and we really appreciate your time and your honesty with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And David, when this becomes a program, you need to make sure that everybody gets it, so that everybody who knows you can hear the story.
Most everybody we know, they live through our story.
They live through our story.
It's amazing how many people's lives were changed just watching us handle it the way we did. That's another story all by itself.
That's right.
And that was part of the Lord's intention, not only to intervene and help you, but look how many others that you have helped since. There's a purpose for everything.
There's a purpose for everything. It's a whole lot better to have a purpose of raising your children correctly the first time around, not letting them go through this.
Need to break the cycle. Exactly.
You've got to break the cycle. We really do need to break this cycle, and we need to break this divorce cycle, because it's just as bad in the church as it is outside the church now.
It is. It's a pandemic unto itself, even within the church, and where you would think it shouldn't be, just as much. Yeah, just as much.
But we just got to get people have to become aware, and through Larry's program, just knowledge. You have to have the knowledge. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. God said that for, you know, us to just look around. I mean, he said it for a reason. We got to have the knowledge to understand what's going on, and this is huge. And what Larry teaches you is very awesome stuff, and it's powerful. Actually, pretty simple, because I'm not a real smart man, and I got it.
Yeah, you got to keep it simple for me. I just so much appreciate you being on the show, David, and we so appreciate your time.
Very nice talking with you, Robin.
David, appreciate it.
Larry and David, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Robin Johnston with Christian Family Matters, because your Christian family matters. Please join us next week as we learn about Larry Bellotta's flag page and talk with his flag page couple, Keldon and Sandra Scott. Join us next week.